we here in Indianapolis have had these conversations about how do we expand preschool, particularly for low and moderate income families and children in our city. How do we provide more opportunity for 4-year-olds specifically to get that quality pre-K? And we've had a lot of conversations. Obviously, Mayor Ballard has presented a plan. Governor Mike Pence is testing the concept of expanding pre-K with the state paying for it in 5 counties, including Marion County, that'll begin next year. And in all of that, you all listening, as we've had these conversations, you all have called up at 239-1310 and you said, Amos, where is Head Start in this conversation? We keep hearing about United Way and Day Nursery and the mayor this and the governor that and Lily wants to do this and the business community wants to do that. Where is Head Start? And, you know, I even had some people as late as this morning having this conversation saying, is Head Start still around? Do they still exist? Are they still providing the service? Head Start goes all the way back to the War on Poverty, the original one, from Lyndon Johnson, who understood the importance of preschool and pre-K because he remembered that from when he was young and didn't have that foundation. And so Head Start is still around more than 50 years later. It exists here in Marion and Hamilton County, and it is a voice that you have not heard. So the other day I just picked up the phone and called Head Start and said, hey, what y'all doing? Can we have somebody come on the program? And in the house is Kim Rhodes. She is one of the heads of Head Start here in Marion County and Hamilton County. Also David Serrano. Guys, welcome. Glad to have you.
Thank you for having us.
So now you all are a part. There's an organization called Family Developmental Services that is the operator of Head Start here in the Indianapolis area.
Yes, Family Development Services is the grantee for Head Start and Early Head Start in Marion and Hamilton County.
And you all have, FDS as they're called, have been doing this a while now.
Yes, FDS received the grant in 1997. Mm-hmm. Prior to FDS, it was Community Action. But
okay.
When Community Action relinquished the grant, mm-hmm. then Family Development Services applied for it.
How many Head Start locations are there in the area, and where are some of them?
We have 9 locations here in Marion County and 1 location in Hamilton County. And David will share with you.
David, where y'all at?
Oh, well, we have one right up here in uptown, 3637 North Meridian.
Okay.
We have locations in pretty much all sides of the city.
South,
south, east, west.
East,
yeah.
Yes.
So y'all in the hood and not so in the hood.
Yes.
Is that one of the surprises that people think that Head Start is only in minority neighborhoods?
Yes, because people think that when they think of poverty, they think of minority children. And, you know, really, children living in poverty crosses all color barriers. They're in all educational barriers because sometimes a person can have been meaningfully employed and making a good living, but then been laid off or something happened in their life. And then they qualify for our program.
Now, when in the introduction, Kim Rhodes, you mentioned Head Start and then some other little Head Start, pre-Head Start. What are the differences? First of all, what is regular Head Start?
Well, Head Start is preschool.
Okay.
So it 3 to 5 years old.
3 to 5.
So we work with the children, getting them ready for kindergarten. Mm-hmm. And then with early Head Start, we work with children 6 weeks to 3 years of age.
Mm.
So we really start, you know, from infants through kindergarten age.
And now, are there some Head Start facilities that are located right next to or inside an IPS school or a township school?
No.
No.
No, we're not located in any school systems.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So you have separate facilities?
Yes, we do.
So what in terms of Head Start, the money mostly comes from the federal government, all of it from Uncle, some of it from Uncle?
All of it. We're 100% federally funded. Mm-hmm. Administration for Children and Families, to Health and Human Services, to Office of Head Start, to the grantee. So That's how our money flows.
And you all participate in the United Way Pathways to Quality system?
Yes, we do. Mm-hmm. And that's not anything that is guaranteed or required of Head Start, but we feel as being a quality, you know, early childhood program that, you know, we want to be a part of this quality rating system. And most of our centers are at level 3 or 4. Along with that, we are NAEYC accredited. Again, it's not required.
Wait, what's that? What's that accreditation?
The accreditation is that you meet the highest standard in early childhood education, that, you know, you have assessments for the children that are based on research. You have the environment. You know, they come in, they test it, they look, and they look at your curriculum and, you know.
Who does that accreditation? Is that like
it's a national?
It's a national thing?
Yes.
If I were to look at their rules, and it's called A what?
NAEYC.
NAEYC. NAEYC. And they've been doing this how long? A while?
Oh, yes.
So if I were to take this NAE, because we're here learning today, if I took these NAEYC guidelines of quality, and if I line them up next to the United Way's quality, are they about the same? Is NAEYC better or harder?
Well, I think I'm just trying to find out what. One of the things when it comes to the NAEYC, it's a accreditation process.
Right. Uh-huh.
They kind of build off of proven programs. And okay. I think that's where it comes from. A lot of the NAEYC requirements or regulations or guidance per se comes from the Office of Head Start Performance Standards, which are regulations. So they all stem from an origin from the standards in most cases.
And these are NAEYC only accredits Head Starts, or can they accredit any early learning facility?
Any learning facility, but you have to apply for the process.
Mm-hmm.
You have to prepare for it. I mean, it's a long preparation process, and then they send representatives on site to actually look at your program. So it's not automatic, and it's not something that's easily obtained.
So it's similar to what a college has to go through to get their accreditation, or what a school district has to do to get their accreditation. So the graduates of those high schools, the diplomas would be accepted by folks.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And they're just like a governing body when it comes to, like, once you join that club.
Right.
You kind of have to agree to follow their regulations
Oh, it's a Caesar thing. Render unto Caesar.
Yeah, you go.
So is this something, as we're having this debate, your opinion, not necessarily the opinion of Head Start, but as professionals, this is what you guys do for a living. Is this something where if we're having this debate on quality preschool, we should be looking not just at the United Way's pathway to qualities, not just what FSSA insists in terms of safety of children in early learning centers, but also the kind of standards that NAEYC has?
Yes, and actually, you know, from what I've seen and been, you know, participating in these information meetings,
right.
They are looking at only programs that are in level 3 or 4.
Mm-hmm.
And to be a level 4, you have to be NAEYC accredited.
Okay. All right. 239-1310. 239-1310. We're talking with Kim Rhodes and David Serrano of Head Start. Let me ask you guys. Cause they tell me Congressman Carson, I bet that's him right now. So before I kind of get stuck on that, and this is federal funding that comes out of HHS.
Yes.
Okay. And you could always use more, I bet you.
Yes.
All right. And it sounds like Kim Rhodes and David Serrano that the congressman is concerned that as we look at expansion of preschool, that everybody really needs to be. I know they've been to the table, but it's part of the larger public conversation. Everybody needs to be at the table.
Yes, I agree with that, because even at the meeting that we attended on Wednesday, some of the providers there said that there needs to be more people of color there and ministry, and that was missing. You didn't have a lot of those players at the table.
Yeah, and I think we want to be on the table. I think part of the Indiana Head Start Association's representatives, they're calling out to be part of that discussion. So we're actively part of it now, but I think most our experience is that they they don't know we're out there, like you said. I mean, no one knows we were out there still. We're doing this. We're working our craft. We're getting better on things. We're improving quality, but they don't know we're out there.
Is part of it that Head Start has always been focused on the mission and not the publicity? Is that fair to say?
Yes, it is fair to say that we are very focused and driven by our mission and making sure that we serve the children, the most neediest children, and engaging the parent.
How many kids do you all serve now?
For Head Start, we serve 1,889, mm-hmm. and for Early Head Start, 120 children.
What holds Head Start back from serving more young people? Is it the lack of federal funding, or is it the lack of knowledge about the program?
It's federal funding. Mm-hmm. So you're given a certain amount and to serve a certain number of children. And so unless there are expansion opportunities through the federal government as far as Head Start, we do not have the opportunity to add more children.
Is there a waiting list?
Yes, we do have waiting lists.
So somebody has a kid, when the kid leaves the hospital and goes home, that's when they need to call and sign up on the waiting list?
Well, Early Head Start, because of the small number of slots that we're serving, mm-hmm. literally we get hundreds of calls each month, and we cannot service all of the children because literally, our children start at 6 weeks and they go through 3 years. So we don't get a lot of children leaving out of Early Head Start.
So part of the pressure for expanding the number of opportunities for low and moderate income children to attend Head Start is because, I won't say it's a cap, the cap is the wrong word, is there's only so much federal funding and only so much slots available. So even if you all wanted to expand, you can't unless it's another revenue source.
Exactly.
Are you all restricted from having other revenue?
We're not. We're restricted from fundraising currently. And I know I think
that's
that,
a federal law?
Yes, for Head Start. So, however, I know that they're looking at the possibility of changing those guidelines so that you can raise additional funds. But as far as grant, now we can apply for grant opportunities, but a lot of the grant opportunities, they're asking for us to have matching funds. We have no matching funds other than federal dollars.
239-1310. 239-1310. Zaff News Name is with Kim Rhodes and David Serrano. They're with Head Start. Family Developmental Services is the organization that for almost, for about 15 years now, has been the operator of Head Starts here in the Indianapolis area. They include Head Starts out by a cafe, 38th and Post Road. They're down in Decatur Township off of High School Road. They're over in, on West Mooresville Road. That's in Indianapolis. That's not in Mooresville. They're over on West 14th Street over near the old school 75 in Hawville. They're over, they're 37 North on Meridian. They're over at 23rd and Arlington. They're on the south side on Madison Avenue. They're on the southwest side right next to the Southwest Multi-Service Center. They're down even on St. Peter. Now, you got a head start with the name St. Peter. Even though it's secular, that's a good place to be down on the near, east side of the city off of 10th Street. And yes, they're even in Hamilton County in Noblesville. See, some of y'all, there are some poor people in Noblesville. There are some low income working class people need Head Start in Hamilton County. 239-1310. You got a question about Head Start? Maybe you don't know about it. Maybe you're a Head Start graduate and now you're out in the working world. Maybe you, one of these people said, I didn't know Head Start was around. Now it's your opportunity to find out, what Head Start is all about. 239-1310. 239-1310. Zaff News with Amos after these.
Hello, this is Maggie Lewis, president of the City County Council. And when I want to stay informed, I always listen to Afternoons with Amos on AM 1310, The Light.
We're with the folks from Head Start, Kim Rhodes, David Serrano. Let me go to Corey at 239-1310. Hi there.
How are you doing?
Fine.
Okay, well, I just had a question about Head Start because I had just turned in to listen to it.
Okay, what's the question?
Okay, well, I want to know how to get started. How do you get started?
What do you mean, how to get started? Now, you know what Head Start is, don't you?
No, I do not.
Ah.
I'm thinking it,
Head Start.
There might be some kind of program or something.
No, well, heck, actually it is. Head Start is a more than 50-year-old program that is federally funded that provides educational opportunities for 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds and also for young people as early as 6 months old. It's an educational program.
Okay.
So you thought it was something having to do with jobs or economics, right?
Yes.
No, that's not that Head Start, okay?
Okay.
I appreciate it. Let me go to Bill at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hey, good afternoon, Amos.
Good afternoon.
And to your guest, first I want to start off by applauding and commending Head Start for the work that they've done in terms of early childhood education and providing those opportunities. Amos, on yesterday, I understand Governor Pence announced the onset of the pilot program that was approved by the General Assembly.
And
I am aware that there are early childhood programs run by primarily public school corporations in Marion County. I don't know how many, but I think that it points up to the fact that there is a lack of transparency and open dialogue about the need. We need to do an asset inventory. Not-for-profits, the churches that provide early childhood educational opportunities that meet those standards, we need to quantify that. I understand, I heard what Head Start said, the number they currently serve, but there's a backlog, and I must have missed the number, the waiting list. So if we can quantify the need, on the countywide basis, how many are currently being served? What percentage of the need is that meeting? If it's not full of complete, then we can have an honest community dialogue about the need. And I'm curious, Head Start, you said that you could do fundraising.
They said they could not do fundraising.
Oh, I thought you cannot do fundraising?
They're restricted, and that's by federal statute.
Okay, then, but you said you can apply for grants.
Yes.
Okay, could that include resources from state and local governments?
Yes, depending on the criteria.
Okay.
Does that also mean from corporations? In other words, if Eli Lilly just wanted to just give you $200,000, is that permissible under the law?
Yes, it is.
Uh-huh.
Yes, but what we have found is that because we do have this steady flow of funds that come through the federal government, that a lot of times we're not considered for those grants or given those opportunities.
Ah, because, you all, that attitude of they got money, they don't need no more.
Yes.
Well, and also, can I add, is that, Andrew, you know, we have to use our money wisely.
Right.
So we can't just say, well, we got this money, we want to spend all in marketing and advertisement just to get our word out. We need to spend it on facilities, on the teachers, on, you know, all the things that will impact the children.
Let me ask a question. I think Bill kind of answered this. Kim Rhodes, you kind of alluded to it, that there's a waiting list. How many are on the waiting list roughly right now?
Well, as far as the total waiting list for our program, which we do limit the waiting list because we can't serve all the children.
Right.
So variety based on Head Start and Early Head Start together would be probably about 300 to 400.
300 to 400 on the waiting list. Is it reasonable to assume that if you've got, I think you said 1,889 young people in the basic Head Start program and another 120 in early, is it reasonable to assume that if you didn't limit the waiting list, your waiting list would be at least another 1,889 for the regular? Is that a reasonable assumption? Unreasonable?
It would be a few hundred more.
Okay.
And definitely thousands more for early Head Start.
Because I think what Bill was trying to say is, and I have not seen anyone analyze or add up all the numbers of how many, and maybe you all have seen it in these meetings you all have gone to, but it's not been made public to the general public, how many young people are in early childhood, any kind of early childhood program here in this county, how many of them are in level threes and fours, how many of them are just in the basic requirement. We kind of know how many young people under the age of 5, under the age of 6, live below the poverty level or live at 100 and 150% of poverty. And I think what Bill is saying is it's time for an inventory to find out, okay, what is the market? What are the number of people? How many providers are out here? What's the capacity? And then try to figure out, do we have enough right now? Do we need more? Is that what you're saying, Bill?
Absolutely, Amos. And as I conclude, let me say that Head Start, as they announced their locations, they seem to have the most accessible programs in the county, because all school corporations, I don't believe, have preschool. And so I want to, again, commend them and to talk about accessibility and affordability. And let's do it openly and have community dialogue that's real and not, you know, looking for a desired result, as opposed to the objective being to make sure that all of our young people in this county have access to early educational opportunities.
All right. Appreciate that. 239-1310. 239-1310. This afternoon's name is Kim and David. If you can't answer the question, I will understand this, but in these discussions of the city's plan, was there any discussion that all this money that was going to be raised by the private sector to improve quality of pre-K, whether Head Starts would have been eligible for those dollars? Because that sounds like that's grant dollars. That's not dollars tied to matching or anything.
To be quite honest, we were really invited to the table after they really have formed the conversation. I think we're just a part of the conversation starting in August. So they have, you know.
So after the program was announced, then somebody came along and said, oh, we better call Head Start.
Yes.
How do people, do people find out about Head Start word of mouth?
Yes.
Is that where the customers come from? And then the larger issue, what are the qualifications to be a Head Start teacher? Can somebody that used to be a mom just walk in off the street and say, I was a mom of some 3 and 4 year olds, I could be a Head Start teacher? Do you have to have a bachelor's degree, a master's degree? What do you have to do to be a Head Start teacher?
Well, first, you know, I want to answer as far as the question that you had about word of mouth. A lot of our referrals are by word of mouth, but we also, you know, advertise on the radio, newspapers. We go out into the community to fairs that, you know, families of our income level may be participating in. So we do, you know, try to get out to areas of where our families are at 100% poverty level, because that's what we serve, 100% poverty level.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as far as qualifications for our teachers, the minimum is associate's degrees, but at least 50% of our teachers have bachelor's degrees, and then they have to have experience working with the age that we're serving.
Is if y'all hit the lottery and you had just money coming out the ears to expand, Would one of the problems be finding qualified teachers in order to expand? In other words, if somebody gave you $1 million and said, Kim and David, here's $1 million, there's no strings attached, expand to serve the need, would it be easy or difficult to do that in terms of are there enough qualified teachers out there to be able to handle 3 and 4 year olds?
There's not enough qualified teachers out there that have the ECE degree that we need.
Mm-hmm.
We can't get, you know, teachers with elementary education with a kindergarten endorsement. It has to be an early childhood education degree.
Mm.
So that is the challenge in that.
That's your requirements.
That's Head Start.
That's Head Start, federal requirement.
So is it fair to say the Head Start requirement for the quality of teacher is higher than maybe some other level 3 or level 4 that aren't Head Start?
Yes. That's fair.
Yes, unless they're at the past quality level 4, then they have to be NAEYC accredited, so many of their teachers have to have a degree.
But all of yours do?
Yes, yes.
So a United Way Path to Quality 4 could have some, but you're requiring all?
Yes.
Is there maybe a disconnect that people hear Head Start and they think, oh, they don't have qualified teachers. They have the same kind of level of teachers that they would have at Drew's Daycare Center.
Right. We're not a daycare, and I think that is the misnomer, that we are a daycare. And so we're trying to get out to community. We're a preschool. We don't have Monday through Friday, child care for children, we have actual experiences and work with children on developmental aspects so that their children will grow.
This is school.
This mm-hmm. is school. This is actual school.
Now, they may be playing a lot, but this is school.
They are working toward developing their skills in areas that are outlined through our curriculum.
Let me go to Mayhem right quick at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hello, sir. How's it going?
Fine.
Well, I'd like to ask two questions.
Okay.
The first one is, I want to ask the young lady and the young man, do the parents of your students, do they prepare your kids when they come to Head Start? And then you said they brought you to the table afterwards. It seems like in this city, we always get after the fact. Do you feel they are, because they haven't mentioned you, the big people or whoever, do you feel they're going to eventually try to do away with Head Start and they're coming after your funds? And I take my answer off there. Thank you.
All right. On the first question, what are the roles of parents and how do you get and keep your parents engaged at Head Start?
Well, I think one of the things, one of the key aspects that Head Start is trying to do is the parent family community engagement. It's one of the things that if you look at the state, they're also trying to do, but we've been working on that for a while. Parents are engaged in multiple ways through parent engagement meetings, through meetings. They're engaged in their child's curriculum. They're also part of our governance. Now, we have a board of directors, but there is a special board for parents. That's called Policy Council. They decide many of our future actions.
Mm-hmm. Parents do.
The parents have one of the highest voices in the organization. So they have a huge role in how the agency is administering this fund and the actions it does.
Are there requirements that parents have to show up at a certain number of meetings or engage in the school in order to keep their kid in, to keep there?
No, actually, the parent really doesn't have to do much. But, our job is to engage our parents because we see our parents as a huge role in their child's success and the community. So having them engaged constantly, they're going to want to come into the classroom. And all parents are welcome to come into the classroom and teach if they want to in a way, to support the curriculum. There is no say to say they have to come so many hours. What we do ask for parents to do is to be engaged with their child and participate in their curriculums through something we call homeschool connection.
How do you handle discipline? Because there's been all this publicity about disproportionate discipline in daycares or disproportionate discipline in preschool. And obviously the federal government is telling school systems, K-12 school systems, to clean up their act. Is that same mandate coming down from the feds for Head Start?
We actually use a curriculum. It's called Conscious Discipline. So we work with children on how to handle their emotions, how to use their words, how to redirect them. We don't do timeout, and we definitely don't do corporal punishment. And so there's a whole curriculum. We have quiet areas if the children, don't feel like engaging or if they're angry, that they can go until they're able to work out, how they feel, and they have words for it. And then come back and join us. So we never
sound like some adults need that curriculum.
Well, actually, conscious discipline is not just for children. It's actually for adults as well. So we're trying to incorporate it in all aspects and trying to get parents engaged and learning about it too. But most importantly, this is not like the school system that if a child's behaving bad, sorry, you gotta go. You can't come back here no more. We work with the parents and the child to the most extreme opportunities because we are trying to impact that child's life. So kicking them out of school is not the solution.
239-1310, 239-1310. This afternoon's names, we're talking with Kim Rhodes and David Serrano. So since you all have a waiting list, how do people then engage to see what openings are available at Head Start?
Well, that's
because
that's,
people may hear that and say, "Oh, I'll never get Shaniqua in there."
we get those calls every day. Well, we put an application in. Actually, Head Start runs off of one of the things we need to do, like an assessment on a yearly basis, and trying to reach the neediest of the neediest. Mm-hmm. So, using input from the board, the community, and the parents, we develop what we call the selection criteria. So every family, when they fill out an application and they're interviewed, that interview actually has results, scores. So a person could come in today and be high need and be possibly higher up on the wait list versus somebody that did an application a couple months ago. It's not a first come, first serve program. That's what's really hard for people to understand. And we understand that a lot of people have a need, but we are trying to find out what is the neediest when it comes to like domestic violence, when it comes to single parents, when it comes to literacy, education, all these different variables play into the child selection. But when it comes to the wait list, once a child moves or anything like that, that slot does become available. We go through that list and see who is the highest up on that list and contact the family, see if they're willing to come.
I'm also looking at one of your annual reports on statistics and looking at early Head Start and noticed that there were 14 expected moms. What do expected moms do in early Head Start?
Well, we used to have the expected moms program. We no longer have that program. But when we did have the program, we would work with them on prenatal education, resources, referral in the community, just educating them.
Was that something where, was that special funding or just the federal funding and the Congress said no more?
Well, you know, through sequestration, you know, we had to cut out so much in our budget. And so that was one of the areas that we cut back.
Sound like the business community ought to spring several $100,000 and bring that back. Particularly if they want to talk about parental involvement. Let me go to Claire at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hey, Amos.
Hi.
You know, I really wish people would stop using the word needy. When you think about it, we're all needy. I mean, the rich people need to get more money. The less fortunate need assistance. We need to stop saying needy because we're all needy. And quit categorizing people that need assistance.
I agree with you philosophically. The problem is these government programs, the eligibility is based on the income of a family. And now they don't use the word needy actually in the regulations, but it is based upon a family's income and how many people are in the family. So that determines the eligibility of a lot of these programs and all of this pre-K and preschool that's been talked about, whether it is the governor's test plan, whether it is the mayor's proposal, as well as Head Start, all work from the poverty and the percent of poverty levels that the government creates.
Okay. All right. Thanks.
And I just want to say, when it comes to that, I understand what she was saying about.
Oh, I understand what she's saying, absolutely.
But there's a income plays a huge role into a child being selected. But really, what gets a child selected is that interview process and what.
There's an interview process?
Yes. Once you.
So it's not just you sign on the sheet and you verify your income and you're in.
No, actually, you fill out an application. You could do one at one of our 10 locations, or you could go on to one and to our website, www.fds.org, fill out an online application. The online application comes to our centers. We schedule an interview, and that interview is just a simple discussion and talking about where that family is at that point in time. And that's where I was getting to the point of needing, so I apologize for that. But more importantly, we want to understand what their family is and how we can match with a slot available when it
is that also through. Detecting the role of the mom? Does that include the role of dad? If dad is a part of that family, does it include grandma and if a grandpa's involved? When you say family, or is it just the nuclear part of the family?
Well, it all depends on the definition of family and what the Office of Head Start given us. It says, you know, you either have to be adopted, born, or by blood.
Okay.
Those are the type of criteria, because if in a household, grandma and grandpa lives there, we might not consider them as part of family unless the head of the household is supporting them, you know?
So what about if the grandparent is taking care of the 2 or the 3 or the 4 year old, and that's that is a changing part of it? Have the regulations adapted to that?
Only if they have custody.
Is that difficult in Indiana? Because it is hard for grandparents to have the legal custody if, say, the mom left and the father, you know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So that makes it hard on your, because you guys have to follow the federal.
Yes, we have to follow it. So they have to give us legal paperwork to show that they have custody of those children.
So that may be a loophole that Congress is going to have to deal with.
Yes.
Okay. 239-13. I'm trying to get nobody in trouble. Let me go to Al right quick at 239-1310. Hi, Al.
Hi. How you doing?
Fine.
My question was, a lot of people called in and touched on it. Is how do you assess that? And people were touching on it. The need, what have you, of the family, because sometimes, do you talk to the child? Are they involved in this assessment, with this program?
No. Great question.
And like I mentioned earlier, the assessment is actually developed by a group of people. Not a group of people, by multiple, facets. Parents, through the policy council, through information that's out there, through, the community assessments. So we're pulling information from different sources to see what is going on in our community. If our community has a large number of children, single moms and they're smoking, well, during that interview, there might be questions of that sort. So, and if that parent answers honestly during those interview, then it might be flagged for that and they will get, you know, extra, so many points type of thing.
239-1310. 239-1310 is afternoon's name. We'll take a break. We'll be back with our remaining moments with the folks from Head Start after these.
Hello, this is King Ro Conley, and you're listening to Afternoons with Amos on AM 1310, The Light.
And let me go to Anonymous on line one. Hi there. Oh, did we get hit again? Let me try Don. Clear the other one, because the mysterious... What we think happens is one of these other radio stations, not here, decides they want to have a contest when we're on the air, and it just jams up on the line. They're probably giving away Circle City Classic tickets or something. Okay, unlock them now. 239-1310. So everybody's going to grab 239-1310. So have there been other communities, as you all talk to Head Starts across the country, that have looked at expanding pre-K, and how have they integrated Head Start into that conversation?
I mean, there are some states out, mm-hmm. like Ohio and some other states, that blend their funding and assist Head Start programs in expansion. They don't recreate the wheel. They work with mm-hmm. Head Start to serve more children. Because mm-hmm. I know here in this community, they say day nursery is the largest child care provider of early childhood education, but that's not true. We are the largest.
Wait, so day nursery or whatever their new name is this week, you all are in terms of number of kids, this 1,889 plus 120, that makes you all larger than any other entity.
Yes.
All right. And been here, well, not as long as day nursery, been around
150
years, yeah. But, you know, 50 to 60, that's anyway, we go to Don right quick. Hi, Don. Don, there you go. Go ahead.
Hello. Good morning to you and your guest.
Yeah.
You know, I want to commend them because I think that they were talking about they have a screening process, which I don't think a lot of the other schools have that, which probably helps out a lot. But, you know, early out childhood education really starts, you know, at home. And, you know, discipline, you know, manners, and things like that. So I'm quite sure it seems like the Head Start program has been pretty successful over the years, and they continue to improve on their product. And I think that they're actually the role models for some of these other systems that are trying to implement that. They need to try to follow Head Start's lead on that.
I appreciate that. Let me go to Anonymous at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hello.
You're on the air.
Hi. Yes, I have a question and a comment.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to understand how the past quality work, as far as the Head Start program goes, because my son actually attended two of the Head Start programs. The first he attended when we lived on the east side, he attended the post location. Then when we moved out by the airport, he attended the Decatur the Head Start, and the two of them were pretty different in a lot of the aspects as far as the structure and even the homework and what they learn, and I spent a lot of time in class. And so, and to me, the one in Decatur Township was like a daycare setting. It was not a lot of structure there, but they were working on their PEFS quality level 3. So what are the criteria, I guess, to qualify for PEFS qualities? What does that entail, I guess, is my question.
All right, great question. Should there be variances between Head Start locations if you all are the same family?
You know, to be quite honest, as far as the curriculum and how children learn, there is not a structure. We do have, we work with Creative Curriculum and Reggio. So it is based on a project approach. It's based on the children's interest and how, the subjects that they're interested in. So you're not going to see, the children sit down and do the rote learning of ABC 1, 2, 3s because they learn through their environment, much through their play.
Mm-hmm. Have there been studies that Head Start has done or Federal Head Start to show if you're in Head Start, and whether it's early Head Start or regular Head Start, when you get 8, 9, 10, or 12, you're doing well as a kid and you're not going out and doing a life of crime or anything like that? Have there been...
A FACES study was done, commissioned by the federal government, and what it's shown is that the progress of the early Head Start children fall off after third grade.
Mm-hmm.
And what, we're saying is that when we, you know, the children leave our program, they continue that success until third grade. So what happens kindergarten, first, second, and third, that I'm sorry.
So your research shows they leave you okay.
Prepared.
And prepared, but then they get into a regular school system setting, and then it falls off by the time those kids are measured at third grade.
Yes. That's, and one of the other study, I can't recall, I don't know if it was FACES as well, but a Head Start prepared child has a higher success rate for graduation than a non-Head Start child. So you're going to find studies that prove any point they want to prove.
Mm-hmm.
I think the biggest issue, that the obstacle we're having here now, is we need to lessen that gap from once they leave our program and go into kindergarten. Kindergarten is not even mandated. So those are the type of discussions we need to continue having in our community, is making sure we're up to par with other states around us.
If you had your druthers, when a kid leaves Head Start at 5, they need to go into a mandatory kindergarten?
Yes.
If you had your druthers, if you have your wish list.
Yes.
Let me go to Anonymous right quick at 239-1310. Hi there. Anonymous?
Yes.
Yes, you're on the air.
Okay. I kind of tune in kind of late on the program.
Uh-huh.
But I have a question. My daughter is 3 years old right now. Her birthday is in December. By the time school starts to run again, how would I go about if I want her to get in the Head Start program? And because I live in Pike Township, and I don't know if Pike Township have a Head Start program.
Right now, there isn't anything in Pike Township. The closest one, as I'm looking at the map, would either be on West 14th Street or at 37th and Merritt, 3637. North Meridian, but it doesn't hurt to start the process.
Okay, is there a phone number for either one of these places?
What is the main number? Because we're about to get to that question. What is the main number that people need to call if they want any information about Head Start here in Indianapolis, Marion, and Hamilton counties?
Yeah, it's area code 317-803-3803. We have a lot of information on our website, which is www.fds.org. And if they actually want to email a question, they could just do it through applications@fds.org, too.
Okay, so the number is 317-803-3803. All right, thank you.
Thank you. Let me go to Regina right quick at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hi, I have two daughters that went to the Head Start program, and it was such a benefit for them. And I just wanted to commend them on the service that they gave them. They're both a freshman. One's a freshman at IU, and one's a sophomore.
Great.
So I just thank them for that, you know, and I had all my kids went to Head Start. I have four. And it did give them a jump start that they needed. So I think the program is very beneficial. And I hope you guys get the funding that you need.
Thank you.
I appreciate that. Larry will have the last word. Hi, Larry. Larry? All right, Larry. Larry going once. Larry going twice.
How you doing, Amos?
Come on, Larry.
There I am, Amos.
Yeah, go ahead.
Hey, I think I'm hearing right now their water's colder than our water is. Syndrome coming on. These mothers are calling in there talking about what level of preschool you are now. And the only reason they hadn't attacked Head Start yet is because they're trying to wipe out all the black daycares. So Head Start, watch out. But I feel that they are trying to say that they're going to educate kids in preschool other than social skills. They're not going to be able to do it, but they say that they will. And all the black mothers will say, oh, we want our kids in a level four, and these church daycares are going to be closing down. So this thing that the mayor's talking about, nothing but a propaganda campaign to get money that he can deposit in the general fund and use as a piggy bank. So don't let their ice is colder than ours and their white is white syndrome creep into this process, please. I beg you not.
I think we just need to figure out how to get some of this private money that they're talking about using in expanding preschool donated to Head Start, to expand Head Start. I mean, they've been there 50, 60 years. Proven track record. And if you want more information about Head Start here in the Indianapolis area, 803-3803, 803-3803, 803-3803, or online at fds.org, David Serrano and Kim Rhodes with Family Developmental Services, the operators of Head Start here in Marion County and Hamilton County. Guys, thanks very much for being with us.
Glad to have you. Thank you for having us.
Thank you.